Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello and welcome to Kits and Wagers. We are back. It's 2022. We're talking game week 22. I am Adam Zadroik, joined by Chris Owen. We both write at rotowire.com. And we do not have a special treat for you. It's 2022. So we're just, we're sponsored by RotoWire and I guess we're sponsored by gambling.com, gambling group. The great people over there are sponsoring this beautiful show. But Chris, it's early where you are. We can tell it's still dark outside. It's a little by me. You can see the snow reflecting from the ground. So my room is a little brighter than usual. Chris, welcome to 2022. And I think the last show we did, it was my birthday, and tomorrow is your birthday. So this has just become, you know, birthdays and wagers, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely birthdays and wagers. It's been 2 weeks since we last discussed the Premier League, so it was nice to get a slight break, if you want to call it that, over the weekend for the FA Cup matches. Happy to be back discussing this weekend as we, you know, without any Premier League, my life kind of goes off the rails. So it's good to be back. As far as Kits and Wagers goes, I am rocking today. I'm going back to a classic old one here. If you're not watching on YouTube Live, I've got the Seattle Sounders Jimi Hendrix version kit on this morning. The MLS Super Draft was this week, and Seattle took a couple players. They traded out of the first round and got a couple players, one from Washington and then one from Seattle University, which is like pretty on par because those are, you know, a stone's throw from the stadium. And then the biggest news was that they got Dylan Tevez on a homegrown contract, and he was like he was a first team All-American. So, you know, the talent pool is a little bit slimmer now at the Super Draft because of all the homegrown contracts, but still kind of interesting, kind of funny to think about how the MLS, you know, was really like supplementing their talent pool for a long time. So pretty cool. But yeah, just had to rock the Seattle Sounders here for the Super Draft. Looks like you got an OG jersey on over there, Adam.
Yeah, I believe you wore yours before. I wore mine before. So, you know, we're just regurgitating here in 2022. But I got the Shevchenko, Andrei Shevchenko, Chelsea jersey. So I decided, you know, Chelsea, they advanced past Tottenham yesterday. And, you know, they're cruising along. They got the big match coming up against Manchester City. And I saw someone's best bet coming up, so I was like, okay, let's do this all Chelsea podcast here. So I'm riding with the Chelsea kit, and yeah, so I guess we don't even have to talk about 2021 to be clear. I mean, we don't even have to look at what happened on our previous shows. You know, it's a new year, and we're just gonna go into it with open minds. Like you said, we got kind of refreshed a little bit here, and so I wrote my article yesterday up at rotowire.com, and I didn't really look too much into AFCON and African Cup of Nations, but, you know, the more you look at these matches, the more you look at these teams, there's a lot of guys that are missing. And we'll get into, you know, the absences and the matches we're talking about, but there's some teams, you know, missing four guys, some missing one or two, some maybe not missing any, but you throw that in with, you know, all the COVID problems, and there's a lot of different lineups. And then you got the cup matches. I mean, we haven't talked for 2 weeks, but was it FA Cup this past weekend? And then you got the Carabao Cup that's been going on yesterday. And we got Arsenal Liverpool today. And, you know, we're going to talk about Arsenal game later. So they got that game tonight. A lot of stuff going on. You know, even though we haven't talked for 2 weeks, there's been a lot of stuff. But I guess, I don't know, what are your thoughts? You're going into game week 22. Are you ready? Are you ready to do this? You got everyone's waking up in your household, it seems like. But
yeah, we're definitely waking up here a little after 7 o'clock. So getting going here. But yeah, no, there's a lot of big players that are just missing from this week, which is going to give the opportunity for, you know, whether it's some younger players or some players who haven't necessarily had a lot of opportunity to play this season. For instance, you know, Leicester City dealing with a couple Iheanacho's out for, he's playing for Nigeria. Well, Jamie Vardy is also out, which might give, you know, Ademola Lookman a start up front. He's been getting a lot of playing time. You know, of course, Liverpool missing Mo Salah and Sadio Mane. Well, you know, there's a couple other people that are big, Thomas Partey for Arsenal, who we'll discuss a little bit later. But there's just a lot of big time players that are going to be missing this week, which could be a good opportunity to target some of those games for teams who have a few more players participating in AFCON. So, you know, a lot to keep an eye on, especially for some of the bigger teams who are missing some of their firepower. But, you know, like, for instance, maybe an under at Liverpool or you know, just, you know, looking at some of those anytime goal scoring odds where, you know, the players might have long odds, but they're actually going to get full, you know, might get a full 90 minutes. So that's kind of what I'm focused on with the effects of AFCON. But yeah, a lot of teams dealing with it. You know, it's been fun watching some of those games and a little bit crazy too, for some of them too. So it's a cool competition, and it's, you know, although it's a bit tough on us to plan for, it's nice that it's going on.
Yeah, so I was just scrolling. If you're watching on YouTube, I was just scrolling through a lineups page. And so in addition to all the players who are out for African Cup of Nations, it's just upsetting and unfortunate to look at. Just all of the questionables here. It's just, you know, it's just a lot of work. this Burnley-Leicester match, I mean, there's already so many guys that are out. Chris Wood just transferred to Newcastle today. And then you got all these other guys who are, you know, questionable, doubtful game time decisions. And it's for some reason, I may talk about that for my best bet unless I decide to change my mind here in the next 30 minutes. But so speaking of that, let's get into this first, I guess, well, there's a couple big matches this week, and this is a big start to, 2022. Well, I guess there's been some matches already, but so Manchester City are home against Chelsea, and this is the first match on Saturday. So the thing with Manchester City, so they played, what, this game's the 15th. I think their cup match was January 7th. It's 8 days before this one. And, you know, they came out before that, like Pep Guardiola tested positive for COVID-19. And they said, you know, we only have seven or however many players, first team players they had. And then they came out with their starting 11. It was pretty normal. Like guys like Grealish and Sterling were missing, but, you know, they're still a pretty deep team. I think Cole Palmer started in that one. Ended up obviously not mattering. They played Swindon Town. But I'm just saying that because you're going to have all these guys. This was 8 days ago, so they're probably going to be 100%. Like Manchester City, you know, outside of injuries, like these guys that missed the last weekend match for COVID, it's assumed, I mean, the general thought is that these guys are being training Wednesday, Thursday. I think Pep could return to the team Wednesday. So it looks like they're going to be fine overall. As Chelsea, you know, they're kind of fine as well. You know, outside of their injuries to Reece James and Ben Chilwell, the only major absence is Mendy in net. So yeah, it's a difference, but he's still, you know, a top class keeper. He's not, maybe he's not Mendy, but he's still, you know, a good quality goalkeeper there. But just run through the odds here. Manchester City -145 to win, Chelsea +425, and you get +290 for the draw. Over 2.5 goals, -130, under 2.5, +105. So after all of the what I said here about COVID and whatnot, may not even matter. What are your initial thoughts here?
Yeah, the absence of Mendy is a big one. But when I first looked at these odds, I thought to myself, I was like, wow, like Chelsea getting +400, that's not going to – I mean, we probably won't see them getting +400 in any other game this season unless it's Manchester City. So I thought those are pretty long odds for a team that, you know, returning Champions League winners, you know, they're sitting in second place. I just thought those were pretty long odds, especially for Manchester City getting -145, which is – in a game of, you know, what is it, first and second, or is it first and third? I thought that was just kind of wild to see. So, you know, both teams at pretty much full strength, aside from Chelsea missing Edouard and Mendy in net. But, yeah, that's initially what I thought. And I think that both teams have the opportunity here to come away with points, especially Chelsea, just considering how they're pretty pretty big underdogs.
Yeah, if you look at – so you look at the – I think they played four times since Thomas Tuchel took over at Chelsea. Chelsea won the first three, 1-0, 2-1, 1-0, and then Manchester City beat them 1-0 at Stamford Bridge back in September. So these games are, you know, they're pretty close. Chelsea have actually had the advantage. I know, like, even in that Champions League final, like Manchester City, they're usually controlling these games. They're getting more opportunities, but – if they're not putting the ball in the back of the net, that's where, you know, Lukaku, Havertz, Mount, Chelsea are, you know, outside of their two wingbacks, they're actually pretty healthy. Like, all those guys are back now. And, you know, maybe they're going to get another counterattack goal, get that first goal, and then hold on for another win. Like it's not impossible to think. And just looking at those previous results, I kind of like the under 2.5 goals at +105. It seems like pretty good odds. I just think the odds are a little juice there just because it's Manchester City, because, you know, they're always in play for the three or four goals. But in this matchup, that hasn't really happened. So I don't know why the odds look like that. I think they should be, you know, a little favored towards the under, if anything. It's just kind of a just because Manchester City are playing, that's just kind of how they are. So I kind of like the unders this one, and I'm kind of leaning with you. You know, you're obviously getting more value with Chelsea, so I think they're probably the way to go.
Yeah, and I'm curious how much, you know, you kind of referenced it, but like how much this strategy plays into it, where Manchester City might have a little bit more of the ball. You know, Chelsea have shown that they're pretty good when they can kind of sit back in defense and counterattack. And so, you know, that being said, I just feel like Chelsea, this might like play to some of their strengths, especially in the counterattack. If Lukaku can kind of get the ball, hold it up, and get some guys forward after, you know, Manchester City have seen elongated possession. So that's just kind of where my head's at. And I think just the odds are good enough here where you're like, you know, Chelsea are a good team. You know, the champions of Europe, they're not too far off City in the table. And aside from that, this feels like a must win for Chelsea if they want to stay in the fight for the Premier League here, because, you know, looking at it, Manchester City are what, they're 10 points ahead of Liverpool and Chelsea. So, I mean, this is, you know, once you get into the 13 point range, they've both played 21 matches, no game in hand. So, you know, if Manchester City, say, wins this and they get up, you know, 13 points on Chelsea, this Manchester City side, it feels like that might be enough to just be like, okay, well, I'm not sure that any team's got enough firepower to kind of make up those points throughout the rest of the season. So this feels like as big as a must win for Chelsea as kind of I've seen, if they want to stay in the fight for the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really lose two times to Manchester City and expect to, you know, win the league. But I'm just looking at the first match between these teams. Manchester City, 59% possession. Chelsea didn't even get a shot on target. But I think, so in that match, it's a little different when guys get injured in the middle of a match. Reece James got injured in the 29th minute, so he had to come off early. And Ngolo Kanté had to come off in the 60th minute. So, you know, they have two of their better players get hurt in, you know, in the middle of the match. And sure, Reece James isn't going to play here, but it's a little different when, you know, you're prepping for without Reece James than, you know, losing him in the middle of the match. So I think that's, you know, something that could help Chelsea. And just in terms of, you know, they're going to have Conte, they're going to have Jorginho, they're going to have their guys. And I'm not going to say, you know, they should be favored or anything, but I think the odds should be maybe closer just given the recent results between these teams.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah.
So later in the day, we have Aston Villa home against Manchester United. These teams just played, I think that was Monday in the Cup. Manchester United won 1-0 without Cristiano Ronaldo. So the odds for this, Aston Villa plus 200 to win at home. Manchester United plus 140. The draw is plus 250. And then you got over 2.5 goals is minus 120. Under 2.5, minus 105. I assume those odds probably changed after, you know, the result of Monday's match there, just the one goal between them. So the difference between this match and Monday's match is John McGinn is going to be suspended. And, you know, he's, you know, Villa, maybe their best player. And Luke Shaw and McTominay will be suspended for Manchester United. If you didn't watch that match, McTominay scored the only goal in that match, and it was, what, 7th minute or something. Otherwise, you know, Ronaldo, he should return in the starting 11. Maguire has missed a couple matches, but, you know, they still have Lindelof. They still have Varane back there. So the thing is with Villa, we could see – I don't know how fit he is because he hasn't played a ton for Barcelona, but Philippe Coutinho, we could see him in the squad for Villa. Obviously, he doesn't play the same position as McGinn, but they could do like a 4-2-3-1 kind of thing where, you know, Coutinho is in the front four there. So it'll be interesting to see the lineups. Otherwise, do you have first look at this? I kind of like Villa in Monday's match, but without McGinn, I'm not sure I like them as much, especially since the odds are close to even here.
Yeah, I think both teams getting plus odds here, as you mentioned. Villa at, what did we say, plus 205, and Manchester United at plus 130. So still plus odds here if you think Manchester United are good enough to win away at Villa. So that being said, you know, we've mentioned this throughout the season, but it is really tough for teams to go in the Premier League, especially with fans, to go away and get points, especially a win. So I think that makes it tough, but even tougher, the big one that I would be worried about besides McGinn for Aston Villa is Cristiano Ronaldo. I'm starting, questionable at this point, but it sounds like he might play. If he were to miss at all, then I would feel a little bit better about Aston Villa in this game just because – you know, Ronaldo has been a huge source of goals for Manchester United this season. That being said, Villa have not been playing their best soccer since, you know, they got that kind of new manager bump when they got Steven Gerrard, but they have been struggling a little bit. They've won two of their last six while losing the four other matches. So they're not playing their best. And I'd be interested to see how they do it here at home. I think the only advantage that they have over Manchester United is the fact that they are at home. So that's my quick outlook on it. If Ronaldo's out, I feel a lot better about Aston Villa.
Yeah. I think Aston Villa are a team I'm going to be looking at to bet on maybe after the upcoming international break. They just have, you know, they've been dealing with some injuries. They're adding some new players. They're getting Lucas Digne into the squad. They just signed him today from Everton. But, you know, they've had a tough schedule. Yeah, they've struggled, but it's been, you know, they've had, I guess, you know, I was going to say they've had Brentford. Okay, Brentford. But before that, you know, they had the Liverpool-Chelsea matches. So they've had some tough games. And I believe McGinn missed another match. He missed another match. I think it was one you actually bet on. But like they've had some injuries, and they've had guys moving in and out of the 11. Like Watkins has been hurt, Ings has been hurt, Nakamba is currently out. Buendia has been battling some fitness issues. Like a lot of their guys have been kind of beat up. So maybe. I think they're going to be a team I'm looking at either way come February. They're going to have Coutinho. They're going to have Digne in there. And maybe not for this match. I was originally going to look at win or draw. But I guess draw no bet plus 120 is fine. Win or draw is minus 150. And I kind of would want better odds than that. But would you lean on, I don't know, I guess the under 2.5 is still minus 105, so it's not terrible. Would you lean on under 2.5 or the draw no bet for Villa there?
I'd rather lean on the draw no bet. You know, you just get the opportunity to not lose your money if they draw there, and they are playing at home. They're a little bit better at home. Everything you said, like, they still have a lot of firepower up front. Ollie Watkins should play, Buendia should play, Danny Ings should play. So they still have that ability to put the ball in the back of the net. But I'd rather, you know, go with Villa playing at home than the, I think, did you say the over 2.5 goals?
I'm looking at the under 2.5 at minus.
Oh, under 2.5. Yeah. I still think, like I said, I still think they have enough firepower, you know, enough players that can score, where this could easily hit 3 goals.
Yeah, De Gea made a few saves in Monday's match, and it wouldn't be surprising at home they get maybe 1 or 2, that kind of thing. So, So all right, Sunday's match, North London Derby. Maybe it's not as big as Manchester City Chelsea, but probably in terms of, you know, historical context, it's probably the biggest match of the weekend. So Tottenham, our home, plus 150 to beat Arsenal. Arsenal plus 195. You got the draw plus 230. Over 2.5 goals minus 105. Under 2.5 goals minus 115. So I'm going to pull up our lineups page here if you're watching on YouTube. So obviously the big thing, Son Heung-min is out. He's not going to play. And Tottenham haven't had a ton of matches without him. And the ones they had without him, they couldn't really do anything against Chelsea yesterday on Wednesday. And they don't actually have much of a replacement. I guess Dele Alli up there. But you look at that and you're like, okay, maybe I'll bet Arsenal. But then you look at Arsenal and Thomas Partey, he's out. He's away, African Cup of Nations. Yet Granit Xhaka he missed the team's last match. Tomiyasu missed the team's last match. Both of those in cup play. Both of them could return today. We don't know yet for their match against Liverpool. So that's another thing. But, you know, without Partey in there, if Xhaka misses out again, if Tomiyasu misses out again, like, I would not bet Arsenal in this game. Like, that's three of their, you know, two of their main defensive midfielders and maybe their only right back that is actually good, because I don't think they have an actual replacement for Tomiyasu. And that's one of the reasons they've been so good this year. So it's kind of the thing where, you know, wait for lineups. Is that kind of what you're going with here?
I'm going to throw this back on you. Do you think that the Arsenal playing a game on Thursday and then having a pretty big game, I don't know whether how much stock you put into the Carabao Cup, but is that a bigger deal than Tottenham, you know, missing out on Son in this match? What do you think plays a bigger role, and why do you think that, you know, how could it affect this match?
I don't think, like, playing Arsenal's match today is that big of a deal, just because, you know, there's not a ton of travel involved with these teams. And Tottenham, they just played against Chelsea, so it's not like they're escaping a match middle of the week kind of thing. So they had their own big match this week. I think the thing is, like, I forgot, or no, Arsenal, they lost to someone in the cup play over the weekend when they didn't have all these guys that I was just mentioning, Tomiyasu, Xhaka, Partey. They didn't have those guys. And
it was Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, Yeah, and I think if those guys miss out again, it just changes kind of how just Arsenal run things. Like, they like to have, I mean, pretty much when Chaka's healthy, he starts. That's kind of how it goes. And then when Partey's not in there, that's already a downgrade. So if both those guys aren't in, they kind of lose everything in their midfield. Like, I know they have young guys in there and whatnot. They might even, you know, move Odegaard back there if needed, because they got Lokonga. Otherwise, like, Ainsley Maitland-Niles is another team anymore. Elneny is also away in African Cup of Nations. Like, they don't really have the guys to come into the midfield. That's, well, sure, Tottenham don't have don't have a great midfield either, but they have their guys. Like you're going against Tottenham's regular starters. Højbjerg is a good central midfielder. And I just don't think Arsenal playing away, you know, if they don't have their usual guys in there, I don't think you could take them to win. I don't think they will win, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Harry Kane also catching a little bit of form over his past four matches. He's got 3 goals. So that's, I feel like as Harry Kane goes, Tottenham goes. So, I mean, with him playing better and fun, you know, scoring goals, they definitely seem a little bit better. And they're playing at home. So,
yeah, just looking at the table here, Arsenal 35 points, Tottenham 33. But Arsenal have played 2 more matches. So, this is a match that could come down to positioning in the table here. And this could, you know, winner this could move up to, could end up finishing fourth there. I know West Ham's there, but
they could, this could be the difference between playing in the Europa League and the illustrious Europa Conference League.
Yeah.
So, you know, this could really,
well, I mean, this could even be Champions League though.
Yeah.
West Ham are sitting fourth right now. So
I had to throw a little shade at both teams here for them. So,
well, I mean, Arsenal aren't in anything. Tottenham are at least in the we're in the Europa Conference League, but I think they had to forfeit one of their last match. Forgot who that was against, Rennes of France or something. So they got booted from the competition.
But yeah, there could be a big difference between sixth and seventh place. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it for the 3 matches. We did have a request from Twitter. One of our followers, Anang Ade, or Aid, however you say it, he wanted us to give our best bet for the Brighton Crystal Palace match, which is the standalone game on Friday. Chris, what do you think about this Brighton are home, +110 to win, Crystal Palace +260 to win. What do you think here? Crystal Palace have been struggling on the road. Do you think that's going to be the difference here?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, appreciate the audience engagement there for Anang, and sorry if we're saying that incorrectly. But, you know, this is a match that I actually did initially look at for a best bet, just because Brighton are plus odds playing at home against a Crystal Palace side, who you did mention are not very good away from home. Brighton also not there. I think they're a bottom third team playing at home in terms of points collected there. So I will say, I just think that Brighton are a better side. Crystal Palace struggle away from home. They have, let's see, they are, yeah, bottom seven team away from home. Well, Brighton is a, I guess, playing at home, Brighton is a bottom seven team. So they're about the same. But Crystal Palace, on the other side, they have not been able to get many wins out of that. So I think I lean Brighton here. You're still getting plus odds. They're still playing at home. So I would go with them if I had to select one.
Yeah, I was originally on that, and I was going to write about it. And then I just looked at recent results, and it was just too hard to go with. So both teams have scored in 8 of the last 9 meetings between these teams. And I feel like I've been on the wrong end of just looking at the recent results. I've been on the wrong end of a few of these. I feel like I was on Palace the first time these teams played. Neil Maupay got a stoppage time equalizer. And last season, I guess it was February, Crystal Palace got a stoppage time winner from Christian Benteke. And before that, Alex McAllister got a stoppage time equalizer. It's just a thing where, like, I don't know. It's just all these stoppage time goals. I don't know how much I want to touch this one, but I might look at both teams to score, because you know that stoppage time goal is coming, and that's -110. And I think overall Brighton are mostly fine. You know, they're missing a few guys, but they got Trossard and Mape. Like they're fine. Their back line is almost healthy right now. As for Crystal Palace, they got a few more absences like Zaha, Ayew, Kouyaté. Those guys are out, but they're surprisingly a pretty deep team. And this might be one of the first time, or I guess Hughes and Gallagher haven't really played together a ton this season. I think that's going to help them. I don't know. I usually would say clean sheet for Brighton at home, but just given the recent results, I think both these teams will score.
Yeah, two things here before we move on to our best bets. The the double chance bet for Crystal Palace, which is that would be picking Crystal Palace or a draw, is -130. So that's right on the cusp. So not too bad there if you really think Crystal Palace could get a draw or a win. So that's worth considering. And then the draw no bet, so that's taking Crystal Palace. And if you get if there's a draw, you get your money back. Crystal Palace is +155. So in terms of those two bets, Crystal Palace has much better odds than Brighton does, and would be where I would go, I guess, after looking a little bit more into it.
Yeah, it's another game where I'd probably wait on lineups just because Guaita has some kind of issue. He didn't play in their last cup match, and I haven't really liked Palace when Jack Butland starts. So I'd probably wait on that. If Guaita's out again, I wouldn't look towards the Crystal Palace side, but maybe I'd look at, the both teams to score, maybe even the over, even though kind of don't like betting overs in Brighton matches. But so that's it for that one, for Friday's match. And I haven't changed my best bet. I haven't really thought there's something better to talk about. So
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Burnley, Leicester. These lineups are... It's causing me a headache here. I don't know. I don't want to count the Leicester's, absences and game time decisions here, but I believe it's at 15. So I'm going over 2.5 goals between these teams. It's hit in, I believe, 4 of the last 5. It was 2-2 earlier this season. I am kind of worried about it. There's definitely risk because Chris Wood is no longer in Burnley. He hasn't been having a good season, but he's their forward. That's who opposing defenses focus on, and he's not going to be there. And that's definitely worrying. So that makes it hard, but Leicester are starting, or they may start, Chedowry and Vestergaard at center back. So Hamza Chedowry, if I'm saying that correctly, is usually, a defensive midfielder who rarely plays because, he's, maybe the third string defensive midfielder for Leicester. And now he's playing center back. So Leicester have all these absences. I got to think if Burnley don't score in this match, I don't know what to say. That I'm not going to bet on them. Maybe I'm just going to completely avoid them the rest of the season. They have to score in this match. We have Aaron Lennon in the starting 11. I don't like that at all. I don't know. Jay Rodriguez has had a hat trick in his life at some point.
In his life. It was U7s maybe.
No, he got one in a cup match a few months ago or something. It may have been against the third tier side, but I'm still going with it. Because I do think Burnley's back line hasn't been playing that great. And even though Iheanacho, even though Vardy, even though Dakal, all those guys are out, I still think Leicester can score. They just scored 4 goals against Watford in their last cup match. Harvey Barnes, James Maddison, Lookman, Dewsbury Hall may not play, but they still got Iose Perez as an option. I think the unreliability of these back lines combined with the way Leicester play, they want to score goals, and they know they can't play defense and get a clean sheet for a full 90. I'm going with over 2.5 goals. It doesn't feel right. The lineups are – I'm kind of scared. It's kind of risky, but I'm taking it. Over 2.5 goals there between them.
Wow. As you were talking, and I was looking at this starting –
Someone else got hurt.
No, I didn't see anything about that. But as you were talking and we're looking at the lineups here, Aaron Lennon starting for Burnley, I was like, yeah, man, there's got to be a better option for Burnley.
He started a couple recently.
Yeah, and they're starting.
He actually just scored. He scored at Manchester United.
Okay, so it is possible. But I saw Aaron Lennon and Jay Rodriguez starting like it's like basically 2017. But I was like, man, Burnley's got to have another option up top. But, you know, Cornet's out. Vidra is, you know, game time decision. Ashley Barnes is out. And now they don't have Chris Wood. I was like, man, they really don't have any other options other than Aaron Lennon up top and Jay Rodriguez. So, you know, you went through all that and I could see you that you were tense. You know, you were stressed out.
And, I still like it.
So, you know, that being said, if you're a little weary, you can still get the under, under 2.5 goals at -110 if you really want it. But that being said, I do love Adam Olalokman. That's my guy. I've enjoyed watching him since he was, you know, was at Fulham and just like think that he's a pretty good player. And then James Maddison obviously can find the back of the net. So I guess, you know, I don't feel as confident maybe here, but that's just because I'm looking at Aaron Lennon in a starting 11.
I think they'll score. I think Burnley will get at least one, and Leicester have a good possibility of getting at least two. That's what I'll say.
Okay, cool. Well, with that, you know, a little bit of a uneasy feeling about Adam's best bet. Let's get another uneasy feeling about my best bet. We talked about this game, and we talked about this game being Chelsea Manchester City. The only question mark for me that makes me feel uneasy about this bet is the fact that Mendy is going to be missing in net, and that Kepa is going to be starting for Chelsea. Both teams relatively at full strength here. Chelsea, you know, although they're going to be missing, you know, basically their two best outside backs, I still think that with the Marcos Alonso and Cesar Azpilicueta, I just butcher that, but every time I say it in my head, I can get it right. But anyways, they're still a strong side. I think that my best bet here is going to be Chelsea double chance at +125. Chelsea sitting at second in the table. By no means are they a bad team. They're good enough to win or to draw this match. And they've done it, you know, recently, aside from the last game, which was earlier this season in September, where they lost 1-0 to Manchester City. They beat City 1-0 in the Champions League final. Last season, they beat them 2-1. And then also in the FA Cup, they beat them 1-0. So their last four matches, they've shown, you know, they can hang with City. So I'm going to go double chance +125. That's Chelsea either winning or getting the draw at +125. So you're getting plus odds. I think it can happen. And they need it to happen if they're going to stay in the title fight here this season.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't argue that one. We already talked about it. Conte, Jorginho in the midfield, that's huge. Those guys are healthy. Like their back line, Thiago Silva, Christensen, Rudiger, those guys are healthy. I think that sometimes the advantage is going against Alonso there in the left wing, but Manchester City, they got Kyle Walker there. So it's not like Kyle Walker is going to be, you know, this huge offensive presence. That's not going to be a major advantage. And then I think on the other side of that, Azpilicueta, he's a little more defensive, and I think that's going to help against a guy like Joao Cancelo on the left wing for Manchester City. And then again, like we said, like Chelsea are pretty healthy up front now. And I think that, you know, the big worry is Kepa in that, and hopefully he doesn't make a mistake. But given the recent results, I do like this one. And I was going to write about it. I think I just ended up taking the under, but I do like this one. Otherwise, I think that is all we have here. Do you have anything else you want to get out here? Do you want to pick Newcastle to win? Do you want to pick Burnley to win? Do you want to pick Liverpool over 2.5 goals? Because I did write about that one. Any interest there?
You took there's not, you know, that Chris Wood bump I'm going to avoid from Newcastle, but I'm interested to see how some of these teams operate with, you know, missing a few key players, obviously Liverpool being one of them. They still have, a fair bit in attack, and they're playing Brentford. So I think they're okay. But, really interested to see how much the AFCON absences affect a few of these teams. Other than that, you know, another game week. Hopefully next week, you know, we're discussing our best bets, cashing out.
Oh, we will be. We actually, I just want to ask here. So, without Salah, without Mane, what do you think, How much of a downgrade do you think Liverpool is going to have here? So they're probably going to start Jota and Firmino. Maybe Minamino. Oxlade-Chamberlain could be up there. I know Origi's out. How much of a downgrade do you think that is? And you think that's going to be like a 0.5 goals less per match, one goal less per match kind of thing? Or what's the outlook here?
That's a really interesting question. How much of a downgrade is missing the Premier League's leading scorer and assister? Pretty big downgrade. Even Sadio Mane too, who's playing pretty well this season too. I think it's a goal downgrade. I love Jota, obviously really good, but he benefits so much from playing next to Salah and Mane. Roberto Firmino has had a really rocky season. He's been hurt a lot. He's been missing. So it's going to be, you know, a lot on his shoulders and, you know, love the player. Hopefully he can pull it out. And then, you know, for it, the two guys who are probably going to see the most amount of playing time is, Takumi Minamino. And then unfortunately, Divock Origi is already out. So it's going to be a big 3 to 4 matches here for, you know, players like him, those two, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to really step up and score some goals. And they're likely going to need some goals from the midfield here too. So I don't know. I think it's a good goal to like goal and a half downgrade, which is a lot. So I don't feel that confident without Salah or Mane in the net or in the starting 11 and
in net.
Yeah, in net. They're usually putting the ball in the net. So yeah, I don't know. It's a pretty big downgrade. And I mean, we've seen what Salah's been there for like 4 or 5 years, and I can't recall many lineups with him not in it. So I'm pretty concerned.
Well, I was kind of leaning in the other way in that, but I just think like Liverpool have their system, and even when these guys, you know, they sit in these Champions League games that don't matter, like Liverpool usually can have success. Like they still have, you know, their back four. They still got Fabinho, Henderson in the midfield. Like they still have a lot of their guys. Yeah. The absence of guys like Salah is gonna lead to more pressure on Jota and that kind of thing. But I don't know. Maybe we'll see what happens. I kind of think that they still have a good system. They have a good base for everything, and they could still score a lot of goals. But maybe the absences will hamper them a little more.
I would love to see them bring back that like super high press heavy metal football from like 3 seasons ago when they would just like let goals in but also score like 4 goals. At least then if they lose, then it's entertaining.
Hey, that could happen again. I mean, that first game against Brentley is 3-3, so
yeah, for sure.
All right, well, we got so Chris has Chelsea win or draw at Manchester City. I have Aaron Lennon and Jay Rodriguez both to score hat tricks. That is the over 2.5 against Leicester City at -110. Chris, happy 21st birthday. And thanks for joining me here on Kits and Wagers 2022 edition for game week 22.